And I was like, that's so awesome looking.
So the Toys R Us plan is to make smaller stores.
Yes. Oh, the Toys R Us plan?
Yeah, the Toys R Us plan. Yeah, and they're gonna incorporate more online stuff.
Yes.
So they're gonna do in their terms in this the article I read is more like Amazon.
Fair.
Because you'll be able to do pickup at a location. Even if that location doesn't have it, they'll ship it to that location for you to pick up there.
So like a toy, well, but to the Toys R Us stores, like
yes, to a Toys R Us store. Okay, yeah,
they're not going to do like a Toys R Us box or lockers.
No, they're going to have it. So like the way Best Buy does it, right? So if you
you ship to your local store,
yeah, and you can pick up that one. That's what their idea is going to be.
Shipping or anything like that.
And then having a smaller footprint means they don't have to have as much stuff, but they're going to streamline what they carry to more toys. And they're going to leave things like video games, which are the physical video game market is dying anyways.
Yeah.
You're welcome, everybody. So because they'll still sell consoles and accessories, I'm sure.
Right, which is fine to do.
And they'll have a digital store you can buy the games from.
You're going to be buying more of the the knickknack and stuff from there, not the games. Yeah.
So
which is perfectly fine.
And then they're talking about making partnerships with other larger companies that are a staple with inside toy stores, like Mattel, Lego, and things like that, to have miniature experiences in their stores. Like Lego kind of did it at the Toys R Us stores. You know, they have those big displays, so they're gonna have more.
And
of
it's
that.
Kind of like what Best Buy is doing, mm-hmm. where you have the Apple experience, you have the Samsung experience, you have the Sony experience.
Yep. Exactly. So they're gonna do that. So you'll have a section where, if you want Mattel stuff, instead of having to go to this section for Barbies and shit, and then this section you'll go to Mattel, and it'll be everything Mattel makes will be in that one. Same thing with Hasbro. So Hasbro, you won't have Hasbro figures in the wrestling.
You won't have like a
aisle.
Boys section and a girls section.
Yeah, you'll have Hasbro, and then it'll be there'll be a Hasbro section for ladies.
Right. Yeah.
But it won't be here, and then the rest of it over here.
It won't be mixed in with other brands and stuff. You won't have NECA sitting next to Mattel stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
That's actually not a bad idea, and especially if you can streamline it to the more popular toys.
Yeah.
You know, and just get rid of all the crap.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because like,
you end up selling.
The crap is people will buy the crap, but you're not going to Toys R Us essentially to buy that bullshit.
No.
You're going to Toys R Us to buy your Turtles figures and your wrestling figures and stuff like that. So hopefully that works out for them. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be nice to see Toys R Us come back. At least a dedicated toy store that you can walk into every once in a while.
Because there's still a very large market collectible wise, but also just like. Toy wise too, like I mean, obviously Legos are a huge thing still.
Even we carry Legos at Best Buy.
Yeah, you know, I mean, like let's not use that as an example, but yeah, I mean, you're right.
No,
it's
but
the idea.
It's a good point. Like,
yeah,
we do actually carry them now.
So I mean, it's like they have Lego stores, so you know, like there's a market for it.
Yes.
Like if it didn't have its own stores, there's probably not a reason to have it around. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I mean, in not every city has a Lego store in their mall.
No, or so some if mall, you have you know, the store that had the section built within it that was just Legos.
Yeah, this would be super dope.
Yeah,
so that should be pretty pretty exciting.
That'd be cool. I wonder if they'll do. Is it going to be like mall stuff? Are they going to build? They're going to look for mall space, or are they going
to
look for?
If they're smart, they would. They'd be looking to anchor
place.
On a mall.
Yeah.
Because they could probably get in places that have like that lost like a Sears or a JCPenney's, and
that's very true. Because that's another thing that would make or break them. Are you gonna in a smaller store like that? You'd almost have to make sure that you're in a place that people can walk by and go, "Oh, this."
Yeah, exactly.
You know, instead of being driving by and going, "Wait, was that a Toys R Us?"
That's the thing is like watching the Major Wrestling Figure podcast with Zack Ryder and Kurt Hawkins. Or Matt Cardona, whatever, you know, whatever, Brian Myers. When they go to international stuff, like when they were in, like, over in Japan and stuff, they would go to Toys R Us, and it's in a mall.
Which is weird to us, because it's always been
Yeah, and it's these big
thing.
Big warehouse stores. Mm-hmm. But that Toys R Us reminded me a lot of a KB store, except for, you know, it had people in it.
KB always had people in it.
But, you know, KB, when you walk into, like, a classic KB, whenever I think of that, is just, like, this long hallway of a store with, like, the big aisles down the end.
Yeah, for me, it was mostly, it's that, but it's just cluttered with shit tons of stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah, they were just so packed in there.
God, I remember they were trying to sell Atari Jaguar, was it the 32-bit, 64-bit.
64-bit, yeah.
Jaguars, and that was the thing about KB Toy Stores. It was like it was always a lot of stuff that nobody ever bought.
Yeah,
that's what KB was to me.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I went here to look at this weird stuff that I'm never gonna want to buy.
Yeah,
I always had that thing out in front with like those toys, like the ball that rode it, like rolled around by itself or whatever, like the yapping dogs.
Yeah,
it's like, you remember those? Mm-hmm. You had a KB out in Yuma, right? Mm-hmm. Like you walk by and you always hear that that fucking mechanical yapping dog. You're like,
so there was a couple of them. There was ours always had a table out in front of the store with a track around it, with a train running on the track. In the middle of the train tracks, there is a separate cage. There's the ball with like the ferret.
Attached to it.
It just flop around.
Which made I was no idea why.
And then
that
dog that would bark, take a couple steps, sit down,
or
bark,
roll over.
And then, and roll over, and it'd bump into something, it'd roll over and walk the other direction. Those ones always on display.
There. Yeah.
Do you ever figure out why that ball with the ferret thing was like? Was that? That's not a design for a kid, right? Like designed for an animal of some sort.
It would
like
seem
cat or like a dumb dog or something.
Cat, yeah. But no, I've never
babies, small animals. What's the difference, really?
I mean, I for animals. But and it just when I think KB though, I always think it's just a long corridor of just line, and it's always just lined with shit. There's no empty space.
See, ours growing up, it
was that one fucking door in the back.
It was in a mall.
Yeah,
it was in a mall. So ours was a little bit different than you're describing. It was like a big the entranceway was just the whole store. It was just open because you didn't have the roll down cages.
Yeah,
the whole width of the
But it was like the front half of the store. It was register, and then like those temporary pins with like stuffed animals in them, and like display things on the front part. And the second part was like short aisles.
Yeah,
and it was all separated by them. And then behind the register desk was like the video game consoles and that's very similar to what it was here.
Yeah, like the one I always grew up in, like with Parkway Plaza in El Cajon, was literally just a super long corridor that had that same setup. When you walked, it had the table with all the fucking stupid shit on it. The middle bins that had, at the time I was going there, was a Beanie Babies or huge things, so like just giant bins of Beanie Babies that people just rifled through.
Yeah,
so you see like all of the same.
They're
going to
be
ones.
Worth money someday.
Of course they are. Yeah.
Yeah.
When that day doesn't happen. And then you have the register, and then you have like, well, with all the video games, and then you have like the small, shorter shelves, and then the back was just the tall ones that were just like, it ran probably 8 or 12 feet or whatever,
yeah,
and that were just jammed with shit all the time. And you go back there and you look for your Star Wars figures.
That's where I always got all
or for
my,
us, the Turtles toys. Like, that's where we bought the Turtles figures all the time.
Yeah. My run of like being really into it, the things that were most popular were the like the X-Men toys, like based off the cartoon.
Yeah,
because like you had the X-Men cartoon, series. The Spider-Man cartoon, and the Batman animated series were all going roughly ish at the same time. So you can go there and you can get like all the X-Men figures were there, all the Spider-Man figures were there. That was like the thing that they always had a ton of. Mm-hmm. Everything else, they'd have a little bit. They'd have a little bit of Ninja Turtle stuff, a little bit of wrestling stuff, a little bit of Batman stuff. But X-Men and Spider-Man just
black
full.
Girl.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember the X-Men was just like
those
rows.
It was easy to get the whole team. Like that was my favorite part because, and then they would do these sales. I remember specifically it was 3 for $15, and so my grandma would give me $20 and go get three action figures. And have like a little bit of change.
Yeah.
It was the best.
Thrifty's ice cream.
Those, Thrifty ice cream wasn't too bad.
Because it was always that weird little cylindrical scoop thing they had, which made no sense to me. Like, how does that work? You put it in, it comes out with a fucking thing. There's no bottom to that. How does that work?
Those Batman action figures that I have in my living room are from KB Toys. In fact, I think they still have the KB Toy sticker on them. And they were marked down, too.
With red ink? I remember they would just manually write down what the markdown was.
Yeah.
They would just cross out the price and say 3 for $15.
Yep. I think that's what it has, on it.
I remember sometimes I'd have to take it to the person and be like, well, what's the sell on this?
Yeah, right.
They're like, oh, that's 3 for $15 or 2 for $10. You know what I mean? Like, I can never always read it.
Yeah. Good times. I remember the Jurassic Park craze, too, and then KB Toys just, like, suddenly became a Jurassic Park thing.
They had that end cap.
Right.
Shit tons yeah, of Jurassic Parks. Yeah, and
remember the T-Rex with the bite mark out of it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a big one.
Because you had the part you could take it out.
Yeah.
But they had that end cap that turned into like had the Jurassic Park thing on it with the, you know, and it had the logo. I remember
going to the movie, and just outside the movie theater was Jurassic, KB Toys. And it looked like, at that time, it looked like the, because in Jurassic Park, they had the souvenir shop. It almost looked like the souvenir shop nice. From Jurassic Park. It was just so much Jurassic Park shit in there.
I remember after Batman Returns came out, my brother and I like talked my mom to go into Toys R Us to get the Batman figures.
Uh-huh.
I remember getting the Batmobile where you put Bruce Wayne in. It comes with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
And you put him in, and when you pull it forward, the seat rolls forward, and it's Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't have that one. I had the one with the flame went shooting out the back, and you could flip the turrets out front. What's weird about you mentioning that is we didn't really have a what did we have? We didn't have a Toys R Us out here then. We had another one that went out of business. I can't remember what
like
the name.
All of them?
No. But it was a different one. It was a different toy store. It was a Toys R Us sized toy store.
A warehouse type store.
But they went out of business, and then they built the Toys R Us out near Arrowhead Mall. But I have the Batcave that we bought from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
spinning computer, and it probably still has the tag on it, which probably would tell me what the name of the place was. I want to say Kangaroo something or other. I can't remember now. All of a sudden, yeah.
I didn't grow up here, so I don't know what that is.
It was the first time I saw the Virtual Boy, too, there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
The Make You See Red Vision game?
Yeah.
Hours hunched over that fucking nonsense.
Yeah, I remember playing, I would play the demo for Wario World on there,
I think it was. We played a shit ton of Mario Tennis on that, or actually, I think it was just called Tennis.
Might have been just called Tennis, yeah. Yeah.
It's funny they always called it Virtual Boy because they're going off the whole like Game Boy thing, but like that thing wasn't portable by any means.
Oh God, no!
You know
they advertised it as like, oh look, you could be lying in grass and playing like, this thing it was actually built to be portable. You could put a battery pack because the battery pack went on the back of the controller. I remember reading about that, so it technically was portable.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you could take it and go places.
Yeah. Use it portably. See what happens.
You just had to either stack it on a table and play, you know, like that, or as I love the ad, you know, showing a kid out in the middle of the grass, out in the middle of a field, you know, just laying there in such a comfortable looking position, playing
3D tennis. Or no, is it 3D tennis? Well, there's 3D Tetris. There's golf, Galactic Pinball. That was Mario's Tennis. That's what it was. Mario's Tennis. Not Mario Tennis. Mario's Tennis.
Mario's Tennis.
Yeah. And it was because they had Mario Clash and they had Mario Tennis. Mario's Tennis. But I want to say because they were like there was like a bunch that released October. There was Jack Bros, Mario Clash, Mario's Tennis, and Nestor's Funky Bowling. They were all released almost back to back. I shouldn't say back to back, but like they were all released pretty close to each other, because like October, August, and February, so they're all around the same like 5 months at the end of the year.
Uh huh.
But like they were just, I remember like was it? It was Alex's dad that got it for us because they had the comic book shop and he knew some guy at work somewhere that got him one, and it came with a handful of games, and we just played a shit ton of Mario's Tennis, and it just ruined your fucking vision.
Yeah, it really did.
Yeah. Yeah, because this is a terrible picture of it, but this is essentially what it looked like.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Dude, it was so bad. It was so bad. Like, the only reason it was considered virtuals because you could see depth in it, and that was it. It was so god awful. And then Mario's Clash, which is a like a forward front to back like thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was so bad. Virtual was terrible. I think we might have had 3D Tetris too, because that was the one. Yeah, it was the one. It was in a cube. Let me zoom in on that sucker. Nope, that's the wrong button. There we go. So it was a cube.
Yeah.
It was so fucking hard.
Yeah, I bet.
So fucking hard. I hated that game. Man, that was a... It was one of those things where it's like, this is the future.
Yo, the future sucks.
Yeah, future's fucking terrible.
Right.
Like, you couldn't wear it. There's no way, because like, it was so... like deep, because that's how they got the like the
bulky.
Yeah,
it's very
and it's like nowadays like the 3D headsets are pretty substantial, but like this thing was like ridiculous.
It's funny is I remember when I was a kid, I was always like a console or two behind of right. like what the newest one was.
Yeah,
and I remember like getting like the Sunday paper had like the Toys R Us ad, and you could see all the games, or, like all the new right. stuff that was coming out. And you'd see these, like, 3D motion sensor, like, all these things in my head. I'm like, I wish we were rich enough to get this. And then, like, later on in life, you find out, like, they were just garbage. Like, it was just garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember, so growing up, it was, the first console was obviously the NES for me. And because I was always playing off of my uncle's, like hand-me-downs.
Mm-hmm.
Or when they weren't playing, I was allowed to play. So it was like the NES for the longest time. But the only games I ever really played on that was Zelda, Mario Brothers, and Duck Hunt. Were like the only
those are classic ones.
Yeah, it was yeah. the only like three yeah. games. We had other ones, but I never really played games. Those games. And then, like somebody in my family had like the Super Nintendo, so you have like Mario 3 and shit like that. But I don't think. We ever had one? I remember. I don't think we did. So from there, it was the Sega Genesis. And the yeah. Sega Genesis was great because that one, we had the six-pack game mm-hmm. that came with Super Hang-On, Golden Axe, Revenge of Shinobi,
mm.
Columns.
Okay, yeah.
Streets of Rage. Oh, no. There's one more. I can't remember what the other one was. But it was like Streets of Rage was the shit. Like that was right. the game. And then Golden Axe, when you beat Streets of Rage, you went through and you beat Golden Axe. And then like Revenge of Shinobi was like, I don't know if it was, but I remember thinking it was the hardest game ever invented. Cause like I didn't understand how to get past a certain level.
Right.
And then from there it was like Super Nintendo. And then after the Super Nintendo is when like I got into like high school, and I started like being able to save up money, and then I kind of got more current stuff.
Yeah,
but it was always a bummer because you would get these like people at school would have like the gamer magazines.
Oh my god, right?
And you're like, I look at all this shit. My shit's old and crappy. Mm-hmm. Got all this new cool shit, and then you find out it was all garbage. Like yeah, right. all of it was garbage. None of it was good. None of it stayed around. It was just a big old waste. And then you remember like running across because on the Sega Genesis was the only one where like I would get games for like my birthday. I had a couple birthdays and a couple Christmases with the Sega Genesis because I had it for a few years.
Yeah.
So it was like I ended up eventually getting like NBA Jam, which was like a huge deal. Oh,
so yep. much fun.
Zombies Ate My Next Door Neighbors, which was one of my still to this day one of my all time favorite games.
I remember
games
renting ever. That. Yeah.
Yeah. And a couple other ones that weren't as good, but I remember like. Just by chance, finding like an old gamer magazine and going through it and being like, oh, this has codes for NBA Jam. And you find out like how to get like the president's,
yeah,
like you get
yeah.
the president's head, or you could do like the bobblehead mode where everyone had giant heads. I was like, this Big is head the coolest mode. Thing.
When I would go grocery shopping with my mom, because she always did every Sunday, that's I just immediately as soon as we'd get there, I'd be like, well, going over to the magazine aisle, because guess where I'm going? I'm going to go sit there and look at the code books and shit. That you could actually open, because after a while they start putting them all in plastic, you know, sleeves fuckers. And stuff, and it's like,
so this curses. Is a library,
yeah,
bitch.
But yeah, I definitely remember those days, looking through those things and like, oh, there's a code for this.
Yeah, I remember running back to my grandma, like looking through magazines and asking her for a pen and paper,
because mm-hmm.
my grandma always had like everything in her purse. And she's like, why? I was like, I need a pen and paper. she'd get like a like an envelope that, you know, like she had to go stop and pay a bill or something like that. And she'd find me a pen and I'd go through and I'd write down the cheat codes for the games that I had. And then like I'd get back and it wouldn't work. I'm like, did I fuck it up? Yeah. Like, did I mess this up? And the next time we're at the store, I go through and I try to scroll through and I realize like I messed up the sequence or something. Yeah. So I like take my time, write it down a little bit better. The best though, at least for me, remembering like getting like cheat codes is when you got to the Nintendo 64, because the games took a big advance then, especially with how much crazy shit was going on in them.
Yeah.
So for me, the one that like it was like a gold mine when I found the list of the cheat codes was Star Wars Shadow of the Empire.
Yeah, I love that game.
There were so many cheat codes. And then there was one where I remember you had to write your character name in. You had to write it in as Wampa Stompa.
Yes, yes.
And there was this fucking ridiculous series of events you had to do with the controller that you couldn't do by yourself. You needed somebody else to help you with it. Because there's like a, you know, because you had that weird C directional thing.
Yeah.
And if you got it right, it would be unlimited. All weapons, unlimited ammo.
Something like
that. And it was like the only way I could beat Boba Fett in that one level where you had to, where he was flying around killing you. That was the best. I just remember my friend coming over and like strategically holding the controller a certain way, and he had his buttons pressed, and then with my chin, I had to rotate the joystick like a couple times one direction and two more times the other direction. It was so ridiculous. Like, why are you making it this hard? Give me a code to enter.
A lot of these are like that. The Wampa Stompa. So you name your character Wampa Stompa, and it has to be capital W, capital S. Yeah. You have to set the difficulty to medium or harder. Then when you start the Echo base level, you press left on the control pad, right C at the same time, then press up on the pad. It says it must be the D pad, or was it the C pad? Anyway, then press right C on to switch between the Wampa and the dash and dash Rendar. Then use the control pad to move the Wampa and press down on the pad to slash its claws. So that's what that was. There's the play as an AT-ST is like the same amount of complicated steps in order to do that.
Maybe. There was just one I remember for unlimited ammo and or unlimited weapons, all the weapons unlocked, and it was just ridiculous. It was, you had to get a friend, or else you just couldn't do it.
Skip all the fights, skip all the endings. I'm trying to find,
or even like Wave Race. I don't even think it was like a special code, but when you beat the game, you did all the events backwards.
Yeah, that was a big thing back in the
day. And you think, oh, that's not a big deal, and it's 100 times harder doing the course backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, Mike. Oh. Kevin James is starring Netflix multi-camera NASCAR comedy series, The Crew.
Oh, NASCAR comedy.
Yeah.
Now you're speaking my language.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love Kevin James and you love NASCAR and you love multi-camera comedies?
And Crews.
And Crews, like the Collateral Damage crew. Speaking of video games, we'll go back to our conversation from earlier today that no one else but us was pervy to, so we're going to bring it up now on our soapbox that we have access to every week. Video games make me angry.
Of course they do.
And they make me angry because they promise me so much. And then, they don't give it to me. Don't give me that sweet, sweet loving. And that I bring up because we've been playing The Division 2.
Right.
Mostly. Well, I mean, pretty much all we play.
Yeah. I tried to play the new Doom 1, but I didn't let the game finish. Like, I don't understand that. I like that the feature is there to be able to be like, you know, it's got to this certain point and
you can play now.
So I was like, fuck yeah, I'm going to start now. And like, none of the textures loaded for my character or for other characters.
You don't need those.
So it was, if it moves, it was shoot at really it. Confusing of like, is this, am I playing Doom 3? Do I need a flashlight? What's going on here?
Yeah, that feature needs a lot of work.
None of the textures loaded. It's like, why even give me the ability to play if not all the textures are going to be here? It was way more difficult to play like that. I didn't even make it past the first little area before I was like, I'm done. This is not cool.
You should go back now that it's fully loaded and play.
I should go back now that especially since I want to play
Doom Eternal,
which looks fucking awesome.
Batshit crazy. So we've been playing, if you've listened to this podcast before, we've talked about this. Not this particular subject, but this game, as well as others. But this game makes me mad because I love it, but I also hate it.
It was something, and what you're about to say is something that they seem to have like started to fix in the end of the first game. It's another one of those things where they're like, at the end, they're like, okay, this is what you want. This is what we're going to give you. Yep. And now here's Division 2, and they're like, nope.
Yeah. So there's two things. There's two things that really bother me about the game. Okay, so in the first game, later in the lifespan of it, they introduced things like the recalibration station, mm-hmm. which was kind of good, but also borderline garbage because you pay a bunch of in-game currency to level a weapon up a little bit, and then that's basically it.
But still, you could level that weapon. Like, I really enjoy this weapon. It's just a low level. Let's level it up. You know, I got a good roll on it. I don't want to lose this roll. But it's a low level item. Let me level it up, and it would level up all the stats to go along with it.
Yeah. So I mean, because it's an RPG thing, so it's hard to like with, well, air quotes, say real things like guns, make it an RPG esque item because it's a bullet, and bullets do real life damage.
Yeah.
And so it's hard to scale that. I get it. Whatever. Right. There's a lot of this weird balance thing. Right. Cool. It's the bullet spongy thing. They essentially got rid of in the second game. There are some enemies that take a shit ton of damage, but it's nothing like it was in the first game.
Yeah.
Because you can kill almost everything pretty fucking easily if you aren't getting shot to death by everybody else.
Yeah.
Cool. That's not my problem. My problem is this. So with the introduction of the recalibration station in the first game, when it comes to the second game, like what we're going to do is we're going to let you move talents, which is super cool.
Which is cool.
Right? It's a flawed system.
Oh, definitely flawed.
Because
I can only move a similar talent over.
Yeah, they don't really tell you what it has to be this stat that versus this stat or whatever, right? All right, cool. You want a balancing system? Cool. Mark them somehow. Okay, cool. All right. My problem with that is the farming in the game, the RNG of the game is lackluster at best because if I'm out and about getting stuff and I've worked my way all up to the highest gear level, which is 500, and I'm in world tier 5 and doing the highest difficulty stuff, you're still dropping shit that isn't compatible with me moving over because it's purple.
Yeah.
So now mind you, you can take an attribute from a purple item and put it on a gold item, but you only have one talent a lot of times on a purple item, mm-hmm. versus two on a gold one, on a high end, as they call them, versus superior. But it's because you're getting a lot more purple than you are gold.
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
Oh, definitely.
So
even when that purple level item is now lower than your level as well.
Yeah. Like drastically lower.
Drastically lower.
I'm never going to equip it. I'm never going to use it. So because it's never going to be nearly as powerful for that one attribute.
Yeah.
That I want, right? All right, cool. So then they introduce in this game later on that you can craft items and use that to then upgrade and move a talent over. Cool. All right? Awesome. That's badass. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Right? But if I'm going through World Tier 5, I'm 500 gear score, and I'm running through a challenging mission, there's no reason I should be able to kill something, blow someone up, or open a box and it's nothing but a gold item.
Shouldn't be, yeah.
Should never see anything but gold, teal, and that weird orange color for exotics.
Yeah.
Those are the only three colors that are acceptable to see. But yet I'm still seeing purple stuff. Dropped from even bosses.
Oh, yeah.
Like, named enemies. And that's usually on hard, which is fucking horseshit in general. But in challenging, they changed it later on. Any named enemy will always drop 500-level stuff. Cool. All right? So, obviously, it's challenging. You have to be, you know, it's going to be a challenge for it. Cool. I'm okay with that. But if I'm in a challenging mission and I open a gear item, a gear box or a weapon box, and a purple item comes out of it, I instantly go into nerd rage.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, why am I even trying in putting myself through this sometimes not
if
fun
every,
situations?
If not along every piece of the way, you're going to be getting a 500.
It should be at least 500.
Gold level item.
Yep. It should always be 500. If you don't want to, okay, fine. You don't want to be 500. Never be below 496 because that's when it drops the purple. And I should never see anything but gold, teal, or that orange color.
Yeah.
That's all I should ever see. Never should I see a purple. The other problem I have is when I'm playing with people that are lower level than me, the shit I pick up should not be leveled to the world tier they're at. It drives me insane.
Yeah.
Now, I understand it in one part why, but also in another part it makes me very furious. All right, so they wanted to stop people from level jumping people, right? So if I get a level 30 gun, I can't give it to a level 27. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Right? But why am I getting garbage when I'm playing through with another person when it's going to boost their level to 28 when they're below that when I'm playing with them? So that means automatically he's going to jump there, right? I should still be getting rewards at my difficulty, even though I'm not playing at my difficulty. Lower the drop rate. I don't care.
It's almost like it's punishing you for helping out your friend.
Thank you very much.
Who's lower leveling.
Yeah.
And with us, you did that for me. Then we did that for Mike. And now we're doing that for Taj. So it's like a good chunk of the time that you're actually playing is at lower level stuff. You're not even able to get that high. You're not even able to play for that higher level gear, especially initially, unless you're playing with randos for matchmaking.
Which is sometimes terrible.
Yeah, which can be terrible as well, doing it by yourself.
And to that point is, okay, cool. So you don't want me sharing that stuff, right? Then make it drop at my level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Or here's the other counterbalance. Let it drop at whoever is running the game. So if, for example, we're playing the three of us, right? I'm highest level. Joe's next. Mike's the lowest, right? If he's hosting a game, all the stuff that should drop, no matter who gets it, should be at his level so I can give it to him.
Right.
That's how it should work all the time. But it doesn't. It still drops so high that it's level 20, 28 or 30 that I cannot give it to him.
Yeah.
So I can't even give the sharing option at that point is literally give it to him and he can dismantle it to parts. Which, by the way, at early level, you can't fucking use.
Yeah.
Because you can't craft bullshit until you're at least level 20 or higher.
And the amount of credits that you got from a lot of that stuff really wasn't worth it anyway.
And any time before level 25, you're switching your gear out so fast that it doesn't matter if I gave him stuff in one more level, one more mission, he's going to be past that stuff I gave him.
Yeah.
So why, for fuck's sake, are you still giving me garbage that I can't use and I can't let him use?
Yeah.
Why? That makes no sense whatsoever.
No.
So then we get to the problem where we all are now in the 500 realm.
Mm-hmm.
We're technically level 500. And if we play on a hard difficulty, which we're just clearing a level for whatever reason, right? We're still getting purple shit to drop.
Yeah.
I'm opening a box, which used to before, like, oh, I found a box. It's going to give me something I want. And it's going to be something at level I need, right? That is dropping at lower levels still. And I'm like, why? Why am I spending my time even looking for these?
Yeah.
When that's supposed to be the gold mine.
Yeah.
Like, I know where most of them are in a regular level, and I'm not too sure where all of them are at in an invaded mission, but I know where they're at, so cool, I'm going to get them, right? But that's the reason I'm playing through the fucking level.
Yeah.
Because killing a normal person, a red bar, a purple bar, even sometimes
isn't going to guarantee me a high level
item. Yeah, right? So
which is relatively fine, but when you run across the boxes, it should guarantee you a high level item.
Thank you.
Especially those ones where you need keys.
Yeah, the boxes, the faction boxes.
Yeah, the faction boxes, yeah.
I'm like, why am I going underground to be potentially eaten by alligators and fucking space clowns to find these fucking keys that I can only farm every, like, 40 minutes or whatever nonsense reset they have on them? But then when I do stumble upon these boxes, well, I know where all of them are for the most part, I open them up and it will drop me bullshit. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, okay, again, the whole thing is like I'm in a lower tier because I'm playing with a lower level friend, and it's dropping them, and it's all right, fine, whatever, I'm opening it up, right? But I can't even give it to that person still because you're in that same thing where it's going to be a level 30 that he can't use.
Yeah.
And so all he has is a chance to destroy it. Why the fuck did I waste a key?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's so dumb.
Yeah.
So they should just do, and I bring this up because Borderlands 3 is coming up. In a week, as the time y'all hear this, which comes out, if you don't know the date, comes out the 13th of September 2019. And they have implemented a fix for this.
Okay.
And it is the most genius thing that I can't believe they're the first ones that thought of this. And if they aren't the first ones, they're the only ones I know of that actually implement it. And it is this. So, for example, I start playing first, okay? I am level 27. Joe gets the game. He starts playing. I start playing with him, mm-hmm. right? You, we'll just say at this point, level 7. So there's a 20-level disparity between us, right?
Yep.
Before, in the first three games, so Borderlands 1, Borderlands 2, Borderlands pre-sequel, when we open a box, it's a free-for-all, mm-hmm. right? Grab whatever you can before anyone else can. But if it's a lower level and I'm playing your game, I'm not even going to pick it up because it's going to be garbage for me.
Right.
So they fixed both those things. In the game, there's a mode you can switch to normal, like classic mode, or this new one. I can't remember the name of it. But in this new mode, it'll open up a box and I see stuff that you don't see and you see stuff that I don't see.
Which makes sense.
Then they're leveled to what you are.
Which makes sense.
To whatever level you're at, you'll open it up and it'll get that stuff. So I'm never, oh, Joe, you can have this fucking gun.
Yeah.
And you're also never going to, once you get to a certain level, certain rarities are going to drop off the loot pool.
Okay.
So, like, those lower lanes, the white ones, the blue ones, the green ones, or whatever, I can't remember all the colors are, because there's purple and...
There's white, blue, green...
Purple, fucking gold and whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Those will slowly drop off, so I won't run into that anymore. I won't be fucking emptying my backpack out because I have 19 fucking white things.
Right.
You know? Then... So that's that portion of it, right? But then bosses, when they get killed and it rains down items and stuff on you, we all see different stuff.
Which makes sense.
It's not a dash to get the fucking purple or a dash to get the gold. Yeah. It's a, look at all the stuff that I can pick up.
Yeah.
Same with the vault. It's going to be amazing. So no matter who I play with, at what difficulty, the enemies scale to me, to my damage. So we're both shooting at a bad guy, right? And this person, we're playing in your game, so technically it's a level 7, right? I shoot at it, it's a level 27.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do the right amount of damage.
Right.
Not me jumping into your game in Division can take a hand a pistol, just a 45 caliber pistol, shoot at a fucking gold boss, and armor and half his life goes away with one bullet.
Yeah.
Which is fucking fun.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's one of my favorite things about Wildlands was it had real gun physics. I shot a motherfucker in the face with a gun. Guess what? He died. Like, yeah. The motherfucker, he could be the boss of all bosses. I shoot him in the face with a high power rifle. That motherfucker dead.
Yeah.
He dead.
On the flip side, though, when you got shot in the face, you dead.
Well, yes.
Yeah. That part.
Which is a trade off, right? It's, you know, that's cool. And, like, we have a little bit more damage you can take being the player. But, like, that was cool. And I get, like, that's less RPG than Division, but if I shoot someone with a 12-gauge shotgun from, you know,
point
a
blank.
Foot away,
yeah,
or if I barrel this, like, just bury it mm-hmm. into their gut and I fire, A, they should stagger.
Oh, yeah.
B, they should probably be dead.
Yeah.
And if they're not dead, C, they should want to go, fuck this guy.
Run away.
I'm going to cheese it this direction. Hope he doesn't follow me.
Yeah.
Because I'm gonna replace this now devastated vest that, other than stop me being penetrated, did liquefy a lot of my inside organs, and I would like to get it replaced.
Yeah.
cool. All right, that's how it should be. And I'm super excited about the fact that Borderlands is saying, fuck y'all, we're a looter shooter for a reason, and this is how it's supposed to be done. Because they are, to me, they're the ones that started that genre.
Yeah.
I can't think of a game earlier than Borderlands, and I didn't even play Borderlands 1 when it first came out. I bought the Game of the Year edition like a year or so later, and I fell in love with it.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else before Borderlands either.
So, like, I'm super excited about Borderlands 3 because of that fact, and also the fact that they're changing, they're doing what a lot of games are doing, and I don't know if you know about this, what Gears 5 is doing, is they're all going to what everyone's referring to as a hub world.
No.
So, very similar to the last Tomb Raider game, mm-hmm. where you have, like, that base camp you're at, you know, and you, like, you talk to so-and-so to get you a mission,
yeah.
and you look at a map, like, oh, this is where we're going, and then you, like, teleport there or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
So Gears apparently is doing the same thing.
Okay.
So you have a hub world that you get missions from and you leave from and you embark and you get your new gear and you change your weapons out or whatever it happens to be. I don't know. I haven't tried not to read too much about it other than the fact that it has that because I know a lot of those things were like, and then you have to go kill so-and-so. I'm like, I didn't even know the fucking fighting that person.
Right.
You know, so I'm staying away from it. But I think that's a really cool idea, and apparently everybody's loving it because the reviews started coming out today because tomorrow at 9 p.m. you'll be able to start playing it if you have Game Pass or pre-ordered it.
Which we do.
So, you still have Game Pass?
I don't know.
Fair enough.
He probably
does because he hasn't stopped payment on it. So we'll be able to play it, and I think that's a pretty cool thing because that way it does two things. One is it's less linear, so you're not just like, oh, I'm gonna go through this level and that's it. And then it leads to this level and then this level, which is probably easier for storytelling, definitely. But also limits you what you can do. Because now you don't have this one place you can go, and then, oh, we're going to go to here, and we're going to take this boat off to this place, and we're going to take a helicopter over here, or we're going to take this tunnel to this place, right? Mm. With Borderlands, what they're doing is they're taking Sanctuary, which is now Sanctuary 3, and they're making a giant spaceship out of it, flying city. And so what you're doing is you're going to different planets and to do different vaults. And what that's going to give them ability to do is instead of having, oh, this area of the planet's unlocked now, this area is unlocked now, it's a different planet. So they can keep, literally, if they wanted to, keep adding in new multiple planets to being mission areas. So instead of, like, because they did a really good job. It's not like Borderlands was ever a small game.
No, God, no.
Like, ever. But now you're less, oh, go back through this area to this, and it unlocks this area. Get back to Sanctuary, jump in space to this new planet that we found a vault at. And then go, and that changes your environment up, changes your enemy types up, it changes your gameplay style up, like all these different things. And I was like, that's genius. Because Division's done it, is doing it a little bit with their excursion missions. I know Far Cry, the new one, did it, where you can take the helicopter to areas and they randomly generate the area for different things, which I haven't played, but I've seen videos and I heard it's really fun. But I think it's an interesting way of doing it with that hub world or one place. Because with even Division 1 and somewhat of Division 2, Division 1, the extra stuff they added, which we talked about and complained about before, it doesn't add anything extra to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And in some parts, don't even have to do with the game. Like, it's a different, you're playing essentially a different character. And Wildlands did the same thing. Piss poor execution of their DLC is you play stuff that has, oh, now you get hatchets for close quarter combats, and you get a crossbow with explosive things, only for that game mode.
Yeah, you can't bring any of that back
over to you. Can't bring it over here. And you have all these new skills you have to unlock, which, by the way, are only in that game mode.
Yeah.
But it's downloadable content. Shouldn't you be adding it to the game? Like,
yeah.
I get it, you want to have different playable things in the game,
but it should be an expansion to your game, initial game that you're playing, not an also but only over here.
Yeah, and Far Cry did something similar when they had their DLC, like the Vietnam one and the ones on Mars. Certain items, when you got them in that game,
it was only for that game.
No, they unlocked and you could use them in the regular game.
Oh, did you?
But it was only certain items you could do it with, which is super cool just because you can use it over there. But I mean, you still, even though you're supposed to be the same person, somehow. Or not the same person, but you're like, you know, you're a different area. Yeah. Somehow you unlock those weapons. It's cool that way. Then you got the space gun or the what's the big gun from Vietnam? That one, the M16? you got that in the regular game now.
Okay.
Not that it was much better than a fucking assault rifle from the main game, right. But it's cool to have a, you know, if you wanted to have an M16. But having a space gun, it's fucking just boop, boop, and liquefy somebody.
Yeah.
It's fucking rad. Oh, liquefied a hillbilly.
Yeah.
It's like the greatest thing ever. Or the one you turn them into fucking chickens.
That was pretty hilarious, like, right?
I turned that fucking hillbilly into a chicken.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And if they could only make those chickens attack chickens, oh my God, you know how much better that would be? Make a bunch of attack chickens, get them chickens.
Right.
It'd be fucking amazing. Anyhow.
Turn on you and you gotta kill a bunch
of
chickens.
Well, that's fine. Whatever. Poultry Sunday. So then we take a look at some other things, right? So we all know I was a really big Destiny 2 player.
Yes.
Quite a long time.
Yep.
So much so they suckered me into buying that second season pass.
Yep. And somebody which suckered is me into buying that.
Yeah, I did. I'm sorry about that. I've apologized many times. And many the thing that makes me mad about that game is what I'm talking about in Division 1, right? So in Division 1, they had these new areas that were not something you get to before. That they made them their high level difficulty areas you go to. We never actually even beat one of them because they're so fucking difficult.
Oh God, yeah.
That was stupid, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So they unlock these new areas in the maps that let you go in there, and it's supposed to be this challenging area. It's fucking difficult as shit.
Incursions, yeah.
Incursions. They were fucking hard.
Yeah.
So goddamn hard. It was unfun to play those games.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, we never got any of them, huh?
No,
we never beat a single one of them.
A single one of them, no.
Yeah, it was so bad.
And we're not like bad. We were pretty good.
Yeah. But you just get overrun, and they're so bullet spongy bad guys that you like you empty 45 rounds of like 5.52 ammo into a human body, and they're like still running at you.
And a lot of that stuff was like, okay, now go grab the key from that guy that you just killed way over there.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, all these guys are flooding out of this room here, and like that one mission, there's that giant armored thing that's shooting at you too, and you're like,
oh, cool.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That does splash damage?
You don't give me a chance to like, okay, we cleared the enemies, then we go get the thing, we do the stuff, and then another wave comes out. You just keep dropping waves on me.
So, Destiny 2. Mm-hmm. Season pass. All new season pass. Supposed to have all this new stuff. All right, cool? All right. First off, killed my favorite character.
Right.
Okay? You're fucking monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why would you do that?
Plus, since his stuff that you thought was going somewhere never went anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
You're collecting all this Cade stuff.
Yeah.
And
fucking garbage.
It nothing.
Every fucking week that resets, the shit you get out of there is complete fucking garbage.
Yeah.
You get nothing good out of there. Now granted, in game it costs almost nothing to buy those maps.
Yeah.
But going out of your way to find them, which they essentially tell you where they're at, but when you're still going to find them, you get utter garbage out of them.
But
which
at
is,
least it seemed like it was working towards something because you would get all this weird shit to go along with
it.
And I never played Destiny 1, but from Destiny 1, I had heard that eventually there was something that you collected and you got from all this crap. And then it just...
Like doing an exotic mission.
Never happened.
Yeah, and it's fucking nothing.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Whatever, right? So then DLC Season 2 comes out. All new place, you kill Cade off, you're fucking monsters, whatever, right? So we have all this new area we're going to go to. It opens up the belt and opens up the Dreaming City. Is that what it's called? Yeah, Dreaming City. All right, awesome, right? What do you have to do? You have to get to a level cap before you go to Dreaming City.
Yeah.
So what do you have to do that?
Grind
the shit from Season 1.
Yeah.
I was like, you'd be fucking kidding me. All right, cool, whatever. So I'm going to go to Dreaming City, right? Dreaming City, it's the same bullshit you were doing on the fucking belt, just in a different location. I was like, you got to be, you're out of your fucking minds.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so they have these challenging areas. They have these things where you take these fucking weird elixir things and you go to this new realm area that you see all these weird shit, right? All right, cool, that's fun. They're on a cycle that recycles every bunch of days. Cool, that's fucking awesome. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I was like, okay.
It was basically the recycled idea of Mars.
Yeah, so I'm like, so I get to go. Mercury was terrible in the first DLC, first set of DLCs. A, you couldn't use your Sparrow.
Oh, that yeah, Mercury,
which
not Mars.
Horseshit.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a small area. I don't give a fuck if it's 10 fucking feet wide.
I
have a fucking Sparrow for a reason, so I don't have to walk like a peasant. Not pointing at using a peasant. But anybody, like, why? like a peasant.
There you go.
Why the fuck, if I'm a space god, do I have to walk on ground?
Yeah.
If you're not going to let me fly, jump far, I should be able to drive a fucking vehicle that I don't have to steal from a fucking peasant.
Yeah,
because I should be able to warp my own.
I don't care about all the little stuff that's going on around.
I want to get to where I need to go.
I just want to get to the fucking place I need to go. Yeah.
And then you put it across and I have to fucking walk.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. Ew. Give me goddamn Sparrow. Let me drive over this terribly built level. Oh, little hills and little valleys. Go fuck yourself. Mercury's massive. What do we do? The Vex took over, so we only have this small plot of land.
Yeah, right. And that was it.
Motherfucker, we killed them. Go take that land back.
Right.
They have forts. I fought in those forts. Let's go fucking take them. We're fucking guardians. Why are we... Oh, no, let's... No, no. We got in space god. I can shoot lightning from my hands. Throw fire bolts. I'm going to murder everything in sight, and then I'm going to take its land. That's how things work.
Yeah.
That's how it should be. If I can summon down fucking lightning from the sky and run like Palpatine just melting motherfuckers, I'm going to take over their fort. That's how it's going to happen. So then we get to Season 2 DLC.
Yeah.
Black Armory. Fuck yeah, I'm going to craft a bunch of weapons.
Which, by the way, was my complaint about Season 2, because you bought Season 2.
Yep.
Oh, and a week later, then that's when they dropped the Forge, and it was like, but you had to buy the Forge. Wait, what? I literally just bought Season 2, guys.
So you buy Season 2.
Why do I have to pay more money
for
your DLC that you didn't even wait more than a month for?
That's the thing. So you buy Season 2, right? So it's all new game. But then there's a season pass for Season 2 that then gives you the DLC.
Yeah.
So I just paid, again, equivalent of the same price of the game I bought a year ago.
Yep.
But then I have to buy a season pass for that.
Yep.
Which I get, you calling it Season 2, new season pass, right? Fun, whatever. There's no fucking way you should charge $40 for the Season 2 and then another $30 for the season pass for that bullshit. It should be, if you charge $40 for Season 2, that should also be the DLC for that.
Yeah.
Because you're not giving me a new fucking game.
Nope. No.
You're giving me an expansion, a shit fucking expansion to the game I already own.
Yeah.
So then Black Armory comes out. I'm going to craft all sorts of cool fucking weapons, right? All sorts of cool fucking armor. No. Every forge, you can only unlock certain weapons. You can only forge them. You can only forge the special weapons once. Then you have to do the other ones until it resets. Then you can do it again. But then, the worst part about it is... the bulk of what you need to do to get the stuff to make the weapons in the forge, not done in the forge. Right. It's done in all the other places you've already played through hundreds of times ahead before this as part of the base game.
Yeah, you're just grinding more shit.
No new areas. They unlock the forges in existing fucking places that just happen to be, oh, now you can get there. What?
Yeah,
I just paid you another $70. To replay the same fucking shit I've been playing? No new events. Just, I have to do them harder now. Mm-hmm. Or I have to do this. Or I have to kill this one thing. And that's fucking it. And then I can go into the forge. Which, by the way, you definitely need more people to do at lower levels. Even higher levels, sometimes you need to do it. Because you have to kill enemies in it to get the fucking batteries to power up the goddamn forge to make your weapon. That you hopefully will get, by the way. That'll be better than the one you got before.
Yeah.
You're
speaking of the weapons, too, like, the other thing that I had a big complaint about is that it towards the end of the Season 1 pass, they introduced the cores, which made the items not legendary items. What was it? Because you had the ones with the cores in them?
Yeah, I can't remember what they're called.
I can't remember what they're called either. But there are more powerful weapons. Come Season 2 now, well, now just to even fuse two weapons together, I have to have cores in order to do. But the cores are so hard to come by.
Well, the second one, they were easier to get, but you needed more of them to do it.
Yes.
And I was like, so more currency.
But you literally took away something that, because I'm getting higher level weapons.
Masterwork.
Now. Masterworks, that's what they
nailed
were.
Nailed it.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm getting higher level weapons, but I like the weapons I have. I can't just fuse them together.
Nope.
Nope, because I have to have cores, but I don't have
unless you can get the same gun you already had.
Yeah.
Which sometimes not easy to do because you keep getting the same shit weapons you don't want.
Yeah.
Because how many sub-fucking machine guns do I need?
Yeah, right.
Because most of them are trash anyways.
Yeah.
And I can't, the parts, I piece them out and I get this much parts for them.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does a fucking submachine gun from space, a space submachine gun, give me three fucking parts?
Right.
Oh, by the way, a rifle use part gives you three parts.
Yeah, like here's the barrel, here's the...
Bitch, no.
The receiver, and here's the stock.
There's three that parts. One thing you hold on to. Like,
that's it.
Are you fucking kidding me? Like, submachine gun, 10 inches long. A rifle, 21 inches long. Same fucking components when I take them apart.
Yeah.
Are you out of your fucking mind? Bitch, if I took apart a Lexus in a Ford Fiesta, I guarantee you I'll get more fucking parts out of that goddamn Lexus than I would a Ford Fiesta. I'm no fucking engineer, but I'm almost positive that's the right fucking statement. Just in the seat alone, I'm going to get more fucking parts out of Lexus than I am in a fucking Ford Fiesta. Am I wrong about this?
No, you're probably not wrong.
I'm just saying, like, that makes no goddamn sense to me.
But for me, going back to Destiny, that's where the thing just stopped and was like, oh, the grind is even worse now. Like, the grind wasn't bad towards the end of Season 1 of Destiny 2, especially with playing with you guys. But now that, like, Mike really wasn't playing it, and I know you were a higher level in Destiny Destiny 2 and going into Season 2 because I didn't buy it right away. So when I hop in and I just want to play by myself, the grind was even worse.
Yeah.
Of just being like, okay, I have this stuff. Like I said, I want to... the mechanics that I'm used to from Destiny 2 aren't working because suddenly I can't just, you know, rub two guns together and make one more powerful gun.
Yeah, I can't run the fun, like, bits against the other fun bits, exactly, and make a fun bit baby.
You know, I can't do that stuff anymore, so now this is just not fun. And a lot of the newer areas were cool looking, but had stuff that was so far out of my abilities to do because I wasn't a high enough level character to do that I could just basically stare at them, go, that looks cool. Oh, I died from standing far away and looking at it. What the fuck?
Yeah. And, like, you go 2 years into a game with two full seasons of DLC and I didn't even play the last two sets of DLC because they're getting ready for Season 3 to come out,
mm-hmm.
which I'm definitely not going to fucking buy.
No.
There's no fucking way. There's way too many good games right now. And coming after that, even more good games at the beginning of the year. That I didn't even play the last two sets of new stuff that came out, which I think is something about PvE stuff and whatever. It doesn't matter. I didn't play any of it because I didn't even finish all the fucking Black Armory stuff because it was garbage.
Yeah.
But it's like you, when you have all this, so after all that, I have no new strikes,
mm-hmm.
other than the three I think they added and the Season 2. You can't choose a strike to play. It's just randomized and it seems to be the same fucking three strikes over and over again.
Yeah,
because it doesn't go off what I've played. It goes off of random whoever joins. So if I'm randomly playing with randos because I need to do high level stuff and I can't do high level stuff by myself, it throws in randos with you. So I can't choose the levels I need to do that I want to play because I can't go through all of them unless I have two other guardians with me.
Yeah, and that was bad in Season 1. I remember we played that Vex Pyramid one like over
9,000 goddamn times.
Over and over again, yeah.
And I'm like, Jesus, just why? Why just...
You would literally play that.
Give me, like, a fucking, okay, list of
something
them.
Else, and oh, what? Nope, we're playing that one again, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. And like then Taj would join in. Oh, and guess what? We're doing this one again.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you? Why? Why? Why isn't there a fucking list? I can just choose the ones I want to do. And yeah, do maybe I want to play the same fucking mission over and over again, but I want to choose it. I don't want you to tell me to goddamn do it over and over again.
Right.
I want to be the idiot that chooses to do it over again. I want you idiots to tell me to do it. Mm-hmm. Or... don't tell me I have a choice to play all of them. Oh, it's a playlist. Bitch, a playlist, if I click repeat, has the same ones on it.
Yeah.
So that, and like the biggest issue too with like the grinding, going back to like Division 1, of where it would tell you like so-and-so mission had the highest success rate for this drop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, okay, we want this weapon.
Yeah.
We're going to play this level until we get this weapon.
Right. I remember the shotgun we were going after, yeah. The showstopper.
And then, like, yeah, you got the first one. You helped me out a ton, so I gave you the one I dropped. Yeah. And I'm like, we play this game all the time. I'm going to find one. we never got another drop of that between us, and we played that fucking level probably 50 times.
Easily.
Yeah. Like, there should be a, like, a percentage of, like, one in whatever. Like, if you play, grind this 10 times, like, you're gonna get one of them. Like, yeah, it'll guarantee
especially you a drop three one people doing it.
Yeah. It's just one in the group. It just has to be one in the group because mm-hmm. you could share. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be each person.
Yeah.
Just who's ever in the group. If you go and we... I don't even think we've done 10 times. We might have done 10 times a row on a couple levels.
Probably.
A few times. But, like, that seems like a fair grind to me. You know what I mean? If you complete this whole mission 10 times in a row, like, you should be able to get the drop that you're looking for eventually.
Well, I remember playing, especially in Division One, I was trying to get those fucking knee pads. I forgot what they were called, but they were the T11 knee pads that gave you better specs for your grenades. And to that point, it was for the convention center. And I remember just play the convention center, fuck, didn't get him.
Yeah.
Play the convention center, fuck, didn't get him. Play yep. the convention center, fuck, didn't get him. And just over and over and over and over. And it just seemed like, am I doing something wrong at this point?
Hey, Joe, who got those knee pads?
Well, you did. And I eventually,
how did I get them?
I believe you just pulled them out of a fucking cache.
Field proficiency.
Because that was just you.
Three times.
In Division 1, you were just like field proficiency cache. I remember you got that fucking messenger bag that's like specifically for the dark zone out of a field proficiency cache. And it was like...
I got the light machine gun that way, too.
You're not even grinding... Like, that... You're not even grinding for this shit.
I don't even go to the dark zone.
You don't even go to the dark zone.
I avoid the dark zone.
I remember trying to go to the dark zone and trying to grind out the hungry hog in there.
I got one through a field's proficiency.
Remember, we did one mission together as a group in the dark zone, and we're like, fuck this. We're not doing this ever again.
Yeah.
It was the worst.
Don't even get me started on the fucking PvP bullshit in Division 1 or Division 2.
Because I'm not at that level because I play the game quite a bit less than you have so far. Of being like super frustrated with the vision because I'm still getting shit and I want to be able to build a couple different armor layouts, like loadouts, so I can, you know, design what kind of character I want. So I'm still in that level where I'm like, I'm still collecting shit, but it would be nice to know that, like, hey, if you do this one, you're for sure gonna get this exotic weapon, you know what I mean? Like, that was
like
nice
with the Diamondback.
It was cool. We knew we beat this level, we're gonna get one. Might not be the best weapon, but like, I want all the exotic weapons,
right? Yeah,
like that,
they're so hard to get in this new game, is ridiculous.
Yeah. Which is perfectly fine with me. They should be relatively hard.
Not this
get.
Fucking
you
hard
shouldn't not this fucking hard no there are definitely limits to it, especially like trying to get the holster where, you know, you're not having a high guarantee. Like, you should be able to have a high guarantee if you can beat a, especially doing it by yourself, a level 4 control point, you know, if you can do that by yourself, your percentages of getting that piece that you need should be higher.
There should be something built into it that your percentage to get the drop should increase the more you get other components. I have...
Or the percentage should increase the more times you've done it and didn't get it.
Well, yes, granted. You know, like, it should just tick it off, right? Like, maybe not, like, drop it 10%, but, like, all right, so it was at a 20% drop rate. Now it's at 23% drop rate. Now it's at... And you keep playing it, it should just keep raising into a certain, like,
until you eventually guaranteed
it. Every other time you're going to get it. Like, every other time it should drop it, and then it's going to reset. Fine, whatever. But, like, this fucking stupid holster, which I don't even want. I don't think I even want to use it. I just want it because it's an exotic and I have parts for it. And it should just be as easy as getting control points.
It's already hard enough to get.
Right? I have to do it on level 4, which is the hardest difficulty you can get it at. And I have 5 components for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have the 3 I need. I have 2 of one and 3 of the other, but not 1 of one.
Yeah.
Then we get this fucking hardwired one, which is a gear set, the teal one.
Yeah.
That project. I have multiples of all of them except for 2 components that I need.
Which should be another thing. As soon as I get that component, I shouldn't be able
to. The RNG should drop it off. It should not be in the loot pool.
Yeah. I shouldn't be able to farm the same fucking component again and again.
Exactly.
And again. It should just move on to the next one.
Like when we were playing the other night, we played we did it on hard. We did the federal bunker on hard.
Mm.
I got 5 teal drops.
Which would be cool.
None of them. With the components I needed to make that fucking project.
I got some project stuff and I don't know what it is. I have not looked at any project
stuff.
I was like, ooh, teal. I was like, oh, what the fuck is this? This is not a weapon or this is not gear a, this anything. Is not this gear. Is stupid.
Yeah, you're like, yeah. I get a teal piece. It's nowhere in my fucking list. And that's the other day. And I was like, holy shit, that's one of the ones I need. I went to it. It's like, you don't have anything to donate. I was like, bullshit. I looked it up. I'm like, no, you already have three of these. I was like, you're out of your fucking mind.
Right.
Why?
Because then it's like, well, what am I supposed to use these other components for then?
Well, because later on,
are you able to like upgrade them? Like, I don't.
So the reason you're doing that project, like
the, yeah, okay,
is you get the components and they give you the blueprints for all six pieces.
Right.
Then you need those components to make the pieces.
Makes sense.
Which means if I need to fucking grind for those again, I'm never gonna do it because I'm never getting these last two fucking pieces. And I've done the five or six missions they tell you to likelihood to do them right. I've done all of those missions several times with you two, with Taj, with Tim, just by myself. I still don't have all fucking pieces of them.
And you're still looking for a hammer.
And I'm still looking for a fucking hammer. I was looking for a hex wrench for like 6 weeks. That fucking hex wrench project was one of the first fucking projects I unlocked. And it fucking took me forever.
Point too is that I don't know how many times I've accidentally sold my junk in the vendor. But you need that junk in order to do that stuff. So I could have accidentally sold off a fucking hammer that I've had since day one.
And you're going to fucking need one.
I never knew that I had it because when I first started, I accidentally went, oh, yeah, I want to sell all components. Fuck, I just sold my junk.
All right, here's a gripe. This is my last one and we can stop.
Yeah.
All right, so let me ask you a question, just a general question. So I tell you, we're in normal, it's not post-apocalyptic, no craziness has happened. I said, hey, Mike. We're at your house, right? You're a normal human being. Maybe it's because you're American. I don't know. I need to borrow a hammer. Where are you going to go?
Toolbox.
Oh, a toolbox. What goes in a tool? What goes in a toolbox?
Tools.
Okay. If I were to classify a hammer as anything in the world, an item, what would I classify that as?
Tool.
Okay. Let me ask you another question. If I want to go to a store, okay, I want to buy a hammer, where would I go?
Hardware store.
Okay. What does a hardware store sell?
Tools.
Okay, cool. Okay, here's another thing. I have a bunch of tools, all right? So I have a bunch of hex wrenches and I have a bunch of hammers. I need to go to a store and I'm like, hey, buddy, at the store, what's your name? Mike? Cool. Hey, Mike, I have a bunch of tools and I need something to put them in. What do you have for me?
Toolbox.
Oh, toolbox. Cool. So if I took all those tools I had and I put them in that box called a toolbox and I had it slaying somewhere and maybe the apocalypse happens, if some guy, I don't know, who's trying to save America from being run over by sociopaths, stumbled upon a toolbox, and he opened said toolbox, what would be in that toolbox?
Kid sock.
Or carbon fiber. What the fuck is carbon fiber? Did I pick up a carbon fiber hammer, and I just said, oh, it's carbon fiber, not a hammer? Because if that's the fucking fact, Massive, the motherfuckers who make this game, fuck you in your next game, because I'm not buying it.
I love that. Polycarbonate. Wait, what?
Do you need a hammer?
I need a fucking hammer.
Oh.
He needs a hammer inside to complete some...
one fucking project. One
fucking project. What's the project even for?
I don't even fucking know.
What are even projects?
The only reason...
What are projects?
The only reason I do the projects is for the blueprints. Because I still don't have all the mods and I still don't have all the weapon blueprints.
Blueprints.
Right. The blueprints come from level 4 control points.
Yeah.
Mm. And projects.
Yeah.
Right? So those are the two things. And sometimes, I guess, bounties can do you too. I don't know about that. I don't think that's true. I read that on Reddit. I don't know if that's right.
Reddit's a bunch of fucking liars.
Sometimes, yeah. They're not 4chan, but yeah, they definitely are. But it just, it makes me mad. So then I looked up, I was like, all right, I'm going to look up the internet to see, because I can't be the only fucking idiot that can't find goddamn a hammer. I have 64 fucking tape measures. Can't find a fucking hammer. Right?
A lot of feet.
That is a lot of feet.
Like,
could you imagine how many feet that
is? If those are 25-foot ones, that's a whole lot of feet.
That's a whole lot of feet. 32-footer.
It could be a 32-footer. I have, what was it, 30-something small diamonds?
That's good for the drug wars.
Cool. I can't find a fucking hammer. You'd be really useful in the apocalypse when I get attacked by somebody? A fucking hammer!
What do you diamond need earrings? To work on projects with? Hammers.
But what about,
I should go rob that bitch that works at the fucking project desk.
Seriously, right?
Or the fucking the workbench bench. You gotta have a hammer there.
But what if like later on in the game you have like some kind of weird accident happen to you and you need to stay below a certain temperature, so you build yourself a cold suit and it runs off of diamonds? Like, you're gonna be really happy to have those diamonds.
I'm not getting rid of the diamonds, but I'll give you those diamonds.
Mike, for fucking a chill.
For a fucking hammer.
I fucking hate you. We're ending it.
Like, why? 32 fucking stuffed animals. I'm walking around with 32 fucking stuffed animals. I can't find a fucking hammer.
Probably melt those down into a hammer.
That was my point about, like, why can I sell these things? Because, like, they don't take up any inventory. They don't take up...
you get nothing for them.
There's no weight for them. You don't really get anything for them.
You can carry a max of 100 of them, though.
Why even sell them off? Like, you know, why have that ability to sell them off? You know, I've only accidentally sold those things, you know, a handful of times. But like I said, I probably sold something I need now.
Yeah, I don't know. It drives
me insane. Last time I did it, I panicked. I was like, "Oh shit! Did I just sell off all the exotic holster stuff that I had?"
Luckily, you can't sell that stuff. Luckily,
you can't do that. But still, like somewhere along the line, I probably had a hammer. Like I said, now I don't.
So I have like 11 silver bracelets. If you guys want some silver bracelets,
and that's another thing that those aren't shareable. So
yeah, not at all.
So even if I did find a hammer and we were playing together,
I'll lose my mind,
and I would, which would be hilarious.
I'm going to delete the game.
I
Once I get a hammer, I'm done playing this game.
Where did Cody go? He got so mad, he kicked himself off the internet and burned his Xbox.
Yeah. I will delete this game off my Xbox's hard drive as soon as I get a hammer. I don't even care what that fucking blueprint is. I finished that project. I'm done playing this game forever.
Yeah.
The game can go fuck itself. I mean, it's madness that I can't find a fucking hammer. So I'm on Reddit. I was saying, I'm going to get on the internet. Someone's got to know where to fucking, like, what's the inside loop to get a fucking...
chances, yeah.
Any place with lockers. One fucking place. There's one fucking place that has multiple lockers in it that I know of for fact, and it's that fucking Metro control point.
Yeah.
And so I go there with Todd, or you. And was it you that one day it was broken?
Yeah, you were there with me.
We go there. We take it. We didn't go to level 4. It's level 1. I just need to get in there, right? Mm-hmm. Then the only way to clear it is you have to call in support by shooting the flare off. They come. They take over because they're the ones going to cover it. They get stuck at the entrance.
Yeah.
And they won't go any farther.
Yeah.
So I can't even clear it to then kill the next boss to actually take it over completely, mm-hmm. to even go into the area that has the fucking lockers.
Yeah.
I was like, are you fucking kidding right now?
Right.
Why is this a thing?
Yeah.
Ugh. Makes me so mad. And it's going to be a shit fucking blueprint. I know it.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be like, oh, here's a suppressor for a fucking 22 caliber handgun.
Right? You're like, thanks.
Who the fuck needs, a suppressor in the apocalypse because they don't make a goddamn difference?
Very true. It was one of the weird things about Division 1, too. Like, I had suppressors on all my stuff. It's like, I don't know why I really need this. Like, yeah. It's just for the stats.
I started taking them off. I was like...
But it was just like...
Oh, yeah, it gets you better accuracy.
All right, whatever.
You know, I would like a bullet hits fucking harder because these dudes take a lot of bullets.
Yeah.
Like a 12-gauge shotgun doesn't stop somebody in two fucking shots.
So far, my biggest complaint about Division 2, especially when it comes to the gear, is like... And it's something that it never made sense to me from the beginning. It's like I started specking out my stuff. I know we're Jesus. A little over.
I didn't realize
this would be my last thought on Division 2. Is that I had this weird, perfect, like, and I was low level. So, like you said, I was going to get rid of this stuff anyway. But this weird, perfect, like, set of gear that had the talents I liked, had all of the attributes that were really good. But one thing is that it just stacked nicely across everything, but gave me extra skill points, skill power. So I had like this high amount of skill power. Now, granted, at the time I had literally no mods for my weapons, but at least I had good skill power. But when I started getting rid of that stuff, I was like, oh, I'll just transfer some of because like I would get stuff. It's like, okay, it's higher armor, but it's all weapon, attributes. I want to change one of those weapon attributes to a skill power attribute. Nope.
Can't.
You can only swap
red for red, blue for blue,
yellow for yellow. And like, what? Why? That's dumb.
I have 4 slots. I should be able to put whatever I want in there.
Exactly.
It makes no sense at all.
Make no sense why I can't swap. Why I can't swap those out?
It's for like
anything that I
it's
want.
Like, all right, so I'm going to make a pair of pants, right?
Yeah.
And they have 4 pockets: 2 in the front of your hips, 2 in the back of your hips. But I'm going to make them oblong, but only 2 of them are oblong, and the other ones are round.
Yeah.
So you can't fit anything that's round and oblong one. That's impossible.
Right.
And nothing oblong can fit in the round one.
Yeah.
So go fuck yourself.
Right.
No, that's not how pants work, sir. A, if you make oblong pockets, nobody's going to want your pants. So many people have oblong objects they're going to put in their pockets.
Probably not.
Exactly. But it's like, bro.
Yeah.
That's just a hole, right? Like, I can put anything in the hole.
It's true. But that was my point. It's like I got to this point. It's like I had this really awesome build. I wanted to start just slowly moving things over, and I couldn't. I could only move same for same. And then even if I move same for same, I couldn't do anything else now for that for that weapon. Like I couldn't recalibrate anything else.
It's so dumb.
It would just sit there and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, you don't have the parts for that." And I'm like, "Bitch, I have the parts right here, but I can only modify the one that I've already modified." Fuck it, whatever.
Yeah. Like, it's, you still have to grind for that shit to do it. It's not like I can just fucking, like, they're like, oh, yeah, like, they finally figured a way to make it so you can make something, craft it, and then you can use it to move over an attribute. Cool. We don't want people just doing that. Motherfucker, I still have to play the game to get the parts I need to craft that item.
Yeah.
Which means I have to play your game still.
And then, I realized later that as I'm trying to recalibrate the stuff that I have now, oh, shit, I don't have enough currency. Wait, what?
It takes currency as well.
I'm like, wait, how do I not have a... Like, I remember at the end of Division 2, like, I...
Division 1?
Division 1. I couldn't, like, I couldn't give away currency. Like,
I bought everything. So like, every cosmetic thing that came up in the store, I bought it.
I had so much shit that, like, you know, you would play for a little bit, and, well, I'm maxed out, better go fucking buy something.
Like, Phoenix credits? Like
Phoenix credits, yeah. Now,
you just drop
now
Phoenix credits when you have any caches?
Now, I'm end game, and I'm like, okay, well, I need to... I want to go modify it. Oh, I don't have enough credits. What the fuck? How am I going to... I can't even sell.
6 months later, money is useless.
I can't even sell the stuff that is junk for me to get enough to just do one or two calibrations, you know?
Yeah, so, okay, you have to grind again, right? Yeah. Cool. But, yeah, when you go back, you're like, oh, I don't want to recalibrate the thing I took off another backpack.
Yeah.
I want to take this attribute. I want to build a skill build.
Or it's literally like, well, I can't, you know, how do I make money in this? Oh, I have to sell the stuff that I have, but I'd have to sell the stuff that I want to take off.
Yeah.
To put on to the other thing.
So go find some other stuff.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my complaint.
Speaking of same for same, Mike. Comes actually, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. That's it for this week's episode, everybody. As usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Did we do an intro?
That was our intro.
That was our intro.
Intro, outro. Yeah, it's a twofer.